Oregon's share of the national tobacco settlement continues to play a role in state politics and the ongoing budget negotiations in Salem. In the last general election, Oregon voters turned down two ballot measures to decide how to spend the settlement money. Portland writer Andrew Holtz, who often takes on tobacco and related health issues as subjects, recently returned from a national interdisciplinary tobacco conference. The event brought together medical researchers, health professionals, lawyers, and others to discuss the future of tobacco. Andrew Holtz says he is anything but happy with the conclusion.
In the present, tobacco is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States, about 500,000 a year. But its future? Well, as far as anyone can tell, it appears tobacco will be part of our lives and deaths indefinitely. Even if massive legal judgments pushed leading tobacco companies into bankruptcy, that wouldn't kill the industry. The creditors, that is, state governments and people with smoking-related diseases or their survivors, would take control of company assets. What would they do? Shut down the cigarette factories? Well, new companies would undoubtedly spring up to meet the nicotine demand. But what if they didn't liquidate the companies? The opponents of tobacco would find themselves directly participating in the production of the products they've railed against so loudly. That'd be a bizarre turn of events. Smoking statistics project a somewhat brighter outlook, according to some researchers. They say, look at the prevalence of smoking like it's a bathtub, about one quarter full. That is, about one in four Americans is a smoker. Look closer, and you'll notice a steady drizzle of water coming from the faucet. That's 3,000 teenagers who fall into regular smoking each day. But you'll also hear some water leaking past the stopper. About 6% of smokers over age 50 quit each year. And every day, more than 1,000 smokers and former smokers die of a tobacco-related disease. If current trends continue, 3 decades from now, the tub should be less than one-fifth full. Of course, anything that can tighten down the tap or open up the drain will lower the smoking line faster. Tobacco control researchers have no doubt the trends can be improved. And it's not primarily a question of science, they say. After all, states with active tobacco control programs, including Oregon, have shown they can reduce smoking. And California recently reported that its heart disease rates are dropping faster than anywhere else in the nation. Researchers there say the first 8 years of the anti-smoking campaign have prevented more than 33,000 Californians from dying of heart disease. The payoff of tobacco control is clear. The challenge is convincing the public and policymakers to invest in it. Although there's a lot of talk about what works and what doesn't, the real debate is over the role of government. There are those who think big government should keep out of it, and those who say intervention in the name of public health is justified. Those strongly held beliefs count for far more than all the stacks of medical and behavioral research. But if there's one theme that emerges from discussions with tobacco control experts, it's that tobacco is not just one of the many hazards that are simply part of modern life. It dwarfs other risks. Look at it this way. If a company wants to use a new chemical, regulators may ask for proof that the toxic risk of death is less than 1 in 1,000,000. Since there are about 48 million smokers in the United States, by that measure, the acceptable death toll would be about 48 people a year. The actual tobacco death toll is about 430,000 Americans every year, 10,000 times the usual standard. Tobacco may have a future, but many of its users don't.
The comments of Andrew Holtz, a freelance writer in Portland.